You are listening to a podcast by Reverend Didi Arikakith from the United Methodist Wesley Foundation Campus Ministry in Tucson, Arizona.
Any of you have seen this clip before? No? First timers? Wow. A back row. Totally seen it. Have it memorized. I love this clip. Not just because it's about baptism, but not just even because it's called Home Sweet Home Diddly Dum Doodly, but because that it shows even the Simpsons are privy to baptism and the power that a couple of drops of holy water can do for someone. If baptism is powerful enough to change Homer, it's powerful enough to change us all. But what exactly is it? And why do we do it? I have one word for you. It kind of boils down to it. Anyone want to take a guess? Redemption? Getting there? Grace. Good old John Wesley, founder of Methodism, he believed that grace was not just this flat thing that happened only once in our life. Instead, we have three types of grace here that he came to understand grace to be. We have prevenient grace, which is the grace that's infused in us from the very beginning. You know, looking at biology classes, you had that DNA zipper that they used to give to you, right? You with me? I think that prevenient grace is kind of like the glue that holds that zipper together. It is the glue that is in us from the very beginning. So, in other words, it would be if a child was out in the most remotest place you can think of in the world, and they were not baptized, and they did not know Christ, and they did not know that loving Christ was going to change their life, and yet they died, they were not without God's grace. God's grace is in the beginning of life. And so you have this prevenient grace, pre-grace. Then you have this justifying grace. It's where we kind of step up to the plate and recognize that God's grace is in us and that we have this hand offered to us through the death and dying of Christ, this gift that was offered to us. And finally, we have sanctifying grace, where we have this holy power to be healed through the Holy Spirit. Even when we've been a little sinful, a little off-roading. Anybody been off-roading on their path with Christ? Yes. So the last grace is actually tied to the Holy Eucharist, which is communion. And we'll talk about more of that next week. But this week, we're going to talk about justifying grace. And this is the grace that comes at baptism. But baptism is a big deal. Why? Because we only have two sacraments, baptism and communion. Yes, if I said it enough, I knew it would stick. So, communion. Baptism is a sacrament that we only experience once in our life. Like, whatever God can do, there's nothing that we can undo of it. However, communion, on the other hand, is one that we take as often as you sin. Some of you, daily, hourly, you know, half hourly. John Wesley advised everyone, it's the duty of every Christian to receive the Lord's Supper as often as you can. So communion, on the other hand, we do a lot, but once, it's all you need for baptism. Now, in the Catholic Church, we had our nun come and visit us over Lent and share a little bit about their beliefs. They actually have seven sacraments. Seven. That's a whole lot more to memorize. Any idea what they are? Marriage, yes. Confession, yes. Priesthood, yes. Ordination? Lat's rites, yes. Do we hear confirmation? Seven! Okay, that's our seven. But you know what? Not everyone's called to be a minister. Let's be honest. Not everyone's called to be a minister. Not everyone is going to be confirmed. Susanna will not need to be confirmed. Why? Because she's being able to say what she wants to say now. And brace yourself, not everyone is even called to be married. So the Methodist Church thinks that a sacrament is something that Christ has called us all to do, and it is something that strengthens our relationship with God and God's community. So we believe that all people should have sacraments. That's why only the two. And these two are invited, everyone's invited to partake in, because it just gets us closer. So now back to our scripture. Jesus' older cousin is known as John the Baptist. Have you ever pondered, however, What was John the Baptist doing all that time in the river before Jesus got to our scripture today? He was known as John the Baptist, right? And yet, what was he doing? Some of the symbols that were actually present at baptism actually predate Jesus and the baptism that we understand it to be now. We've got the Old Testament and the great. We've got the old promise made at Passover, and we've got the new promise made at that communion at the Last Supper. Yes? Baptism is no different. We've got the Father's cleansing baptism, this new, and then we've got this new baptismal covenant in the name of the Holy Trinity, which we learned last week is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I know. Somebody's going to have to go back to the website and recheck the podcasting. Get a little freshen up. Anyways, for Jewish people, water has always been a sign of cleansing and renewal. This is even true today. I was at a funeral. It was a very ecumenical funeral. And I was invited back to a Jewish home where the family kind of mourns together. And outside of the door is a bowl of water. And we had to wash our hands in the water to be clean after being with the dead before we came in to their home. Water is a great example of how powerful this symbol is. When an Israelite had sinned, even in the Old Testament, they went down to the river to wash themselves, to be renewed and spiritual clean. There is a story, I don't know if you've heard, 2 Kings chapter 5, about this leper that was healed. And he went down to the Jordan and washed himself, and he was clear of his leprosy. So it wasn't just their bodies that were clean, you know, because no one wants a stinky person in the synagogue, but it was really cleansed when Elisha had told them to go bathe in that Jordan River. So John the Baptist baptized as a renewal of God's covenant with the chosen people. But unlike other cleansers, because John the Baptist really didn't have the whole market covered on baptizing, John had said to all those who he baptized that someone was better than he that was going to come and baptize in the name of the Spirit. So this man, of course, was Jesus, yes. And in our scripture tonight, when Christ was baptized, really mythological things happened. What does it say? The heavens just tore open. Imagine what that would look like. And the Holy Spirit descended upon Christ like a dove. But more importantly, God proclaimed at the very end that Christ was his son. Big deal. So since this holy day, things changed. The ritual of baptism began to transform. No longer was John baptizing just as a forgiveness or like to be washed clean from their sins, but he was baptizing all nations because the gift of this justifying grace was now given to all humanity. We were now able to have a relationship with God. Big deal. So I talked about stepping up to the plate. Imagine if you've been sitting on the bench your whole life, right? I don't know. I was not so good in athletics, so I really sat on the bench a whole lot more. Time to ponder these things. And when the time came where you're going to step up to the plate and take acceptance, or were you going to tell the kid sitting next to you, you can go for me? Justifying baptism is about stepping up to that plate. It's about recognizing that you want to be in this game, that you want to be in this relationship with Jesus Christ, that you want to be on this journey, or at least get off the starting line and get in the game. Justifying grace. Baptism is about responding to God's gift of grace and forgiveness. It's about realizing that you want more. Now, baptism is a rite for the whole church, incorporated by the community of faith, meaning there are no secret baptisms. Chelsea comes and is like, Dee Dee, I want you to baptize me in secret. I have to say, I'm not allowed to do that. Because baptism is as much as it is for the whole community as it is about that person. For everyone that has been in a life group, for everyone that has witnessed somebody that's in a life group, you will understand what I mean, because we hold each other up. You pray for one another. You're in covenant with one another. And even here, when we talk about Wednesday night prayers, we listen and we pray for one another. So if someone starts off-roading on their spiritual journey, you can help throw them a life jacket or a dinghy to bring them back in. Because the journey needs to continue. You need to have those around you in this community to help buffer, to help bring you in. Baptism is not limited to infants. I know a lot of you probably got baptized as infants. Yes? No? And so why would we do that? Why would we baptize an infant? They can't say anything. It's because that the parents recognize that God's grace is happening in this child. That something beyond them, that this miracle of life is even more miraculous than they could possibly believe, and that this is God's grace. So parents cannot help but to witness this and respond by baptizing. Now, not everyone is baptized as an infant. Some people like to wait to have choice. Some people were never given the option as an infant. And so you get this choice for those that were baptized younger. They get to choose at some point in their life, and that's what we call confirmation. In this time of confirmation, you get to say, you know, I'm going to stay on the journey. No, my parents have been pushing me on this journey my whole life, and I do not want to stay on it. But you get to choose. That is your point of the game where you get to step up to the plate and choose that journey yourself. Once anyone sees God's grace, once anyone sees this power beyond themselves, it should be impossible not to be baptized. It should be impossible not to recognize that there's something bigger than yourself. And it should be impossible for you to stay on that bench any longer and just watch the game. Having this relationship starts at baptism. That's what baptism is. So if you had this magnificent relationship, you'd want your kids to start earlier. Or the minute that you had the opportunity, you'd want to join in. Baptism is about starting that relationship. Next week, we're going to talk about continuing that relationship. Anyone knows that you're going to have to work at a relationship, and that's true with God, too. As we continue in this community, and remember that our baptism is more. Now, there are probably people here tonight that have not been baptized, but want to know more. You might be ready to be baptized right now. Now, if you are one of these people, you can come up to me now. Or you can come up to me tonight or a week and ask me more about how this is possible, that you are ready to enter the game. And for those who have already been baptized, there is no need to be baptized again. But tonight I'm going to pass bowls of water around. And you can take your finger and touch it to your head, or you can just put your fingers in. And the point is to be cleansed. To remember that God is forgiving, and there is a cleansing and saving power offered through Christ. And remember that God had made this covenant with you to renew you, to forgive you, and to help start you on this holy life.